Fans of the famous New Yorker magazine cartoons will probably have seen the work of my next guest, Matt Diffie, whose witty drawings include a portrait of Che Guevara wearing a Bart Simpson t-shirt. His cartoons have also appeared in Time, The Huffington Post, The Believer and Texas Monthly magazine. Steve Martin, no less, has described Matt Diffie as one of the funniest people in the rarefied world of first-rate cartooning. Matt is in Ireland to appear at the 2019 Kilkenny Animated Festival this weekend. He's with me to talk a little bit more about himself, first of all, right now. Is it a rarefied world, cartooning?
I think the way that, in America at least, the New Yorker brand is very rarefied, and people kind of think we're snobby and, you know, snooty, but I don't think we are. Hopefully this interview will prove we're not. But yeah, there's a bit of a elite sort of world. It's hard to get into, and I guess the rank and file fellow thinks that it's
a very rarefied
word or something. But
you even use the pronoun now, we, regarding the New Yorker. So you feel as if you're
there's a team. Yes, once you get
team,
in, you're in
you're
there. You're never secure, but you're still part of the grumbling group, I guess.
When did you start submitting?
Yeah, I started at 29 years old, because I floundered for many years. And I entered a contest that the cartoon editor was the juror of, and I ended up winning the contest. And before that, I'd never really thought about doing The New Yorker, because I grew up in Texas, and Texas is a world removed from the fancy, talk about that, you know, that niche kind of world. It's very far away. So it wasn't really on my radar, and then later on in life, I came around to it.
When was that, did you say?
I think it was like 1998.
1998, 1999, that type of period. So the editor or the guy who's commissioning for The New Yorker says, please submit.
So you
think, yeah,
so I thought, I'm in. Yeah.
So what happened?
And then I started submitting. And at first I was doing three a week because I thought that seemed reasonable. Three at-bats and if you strike out, that's, you try again. And then I was informed by the editor that most people are doing 10 a week. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to be this young, hungry upstart, and I'm going to do 15 a week, which I did religiously for the first year. 15 ideas sketched up, sent into the magazine, and I sold 4 the first year.
So 15 a week for 52 weeks.
Yeah, I haven't done the math, but it's not good, right?
Four are accepted.
Yeah. And it was very much a paying my dues kind of year. And even after that, it slowly increased, and maybe 4 years in, I was doing well.
Do you think visually at the outset? Are you already into the words? Or what?
Mostly think words, just twists on things that give it a new meaning. And then when I think of the words, usually the image has already popped into my head, so I don't need to draw it necessarily.
All right.
But there are other cartoonists, great cartoonists, who start with a doodle and then just kind of find an idea as they draw.
Yeah, I was looking at your website and some of the cartoons therein. Do you have something against interpretive dance? And to explain that question, you might tell us about...
Yeah, I have a cartoon. I guess you would call it a junkyard in America. Mm. Just old cars, like an auto salvage kind of yard with an old beat-up fence and... there's a sign across the gate that says Leon's Auto Salvage and Center for Interpretive Dance. And then you see a guy dressed, I guess, as like a mechanic type guy, but he's doing some sort of elaborate leap in the air. To me, it's funny just to contrast something that's very sort of mundane and blue collar and maybe even anti-artsy with something that's silly and artsy. Particularly interpretive dance, I hate to say.
It's silly and artsy, is it?
It seems to be at the extreme of uselessness to me.
Abstract art,
you could say, too, I suppose.
Abstract art and interpretive dance.
And poetry, maybe?
And
some poetry.
You know,
I'm in Ireland. I know poetry is sacred in Ireland more so.
Yeah, and
so
you know we're
America.
An arts program, don't you?
Right, we are. The arts, they're silly. I think that the fringes of it, many dancers that I know would even say that, there's a level of interpretive dance.
That has to be questioned.
It gets a bit silly.
What I found interesting about that was it looked to me as, did you see something that really, you know, were you driving past a junkyard?
I could have, probably, in Texas. It's a very eccentric place where I grew up.
Because there's another cartoon on the website as well, which I thought might be something you had seen. Do you remember this one? The one of the Jehovah's Witness church?
There's a Jehovah's Witness building, and then there's a tiny sign that says, no soliciting.
Yeah.
So they don't want people coming to them trying to proselytize.
You're talking about some cartoonists starting literally with the doodle. So are right. do you sit down and start like that?
I just start, yeah. I get a cup of coffee and a blank sheet of paper and a pencil, and I start jotting down things. And I'm just playing with words at this point. And honestly, you know, 100%, if not 90%, if not 100, is terrible. Just goes nowhere. And I do that for about 2 hours every day, and eventually I'll come up with a few things that work as an idea. And then at the end of the week, I take all those sheets and kind of go over them again, and I see now, oh, that was terrible, or that was better than I thought. And then I cull them and come up with my 10 to pitch to the magazine.
That's a difficult couple of hours, I would have thought, every day to face into the blank page and know, would be pretty certain that, you know, the first couple of hours here are nothing other than getting myself to possibly somewhere I'll produce something.
I mean, some days are easier than others, and I can't explain it. But really, I just get into a little bit of a zone maybe for half an hour. And then I feel like everything's coming, and it just really is flowing. And people that study creativity talk a little bit about that, getting in sort of a zone where you lose track kind of where you are, even in the room. And it sounds silly, but a vessel.
Before you know it, you're doing an interpretive dance.
Exactly. I'm interpreting dancing around the corner of the studio.
What about contemporary politics? I mean, because it seems that as if, particularly in the case of your president, for the cartoonist who might exaggerate certain qualities, that the hairstyle is very easy to work on. You know, do you directly comment on contemporary politics?
I personally don't too much. I've done, I think, one Trump cartoon, and this was before he was president. I just had, going back to my Texas roots, I had a couple of cowboys on horseback. And one of the horses is kind of upset. And the one guy, this is before Trump was elected, he's saying, quit saying President Trump, you're spooking the horses. And that's the only real specific political joke I've ever made. The New Yorker traditionally didn't do real hard-hitting sort of taking sides kind of political cartoons until maybe recently, maybe the last 8 or 10 years, they've started doing a bit more of it.
And do you think that relates into the contemporary politics?
Yeah,
for sure. That merits more comment?
For sure, yeah. Things have gotten crazier, and everyone seems to have taken a side, as opposed to being in the middle.
You've spoken about, and you've, I suppose, you are at two extremes, if you like, in the case of being from Texas originally and then finding yourself working for The New Yorker. How different, how big a change was that, you know, from life in Texas to life working for The New
Yorker? Well, huge, huge. And I still say I'm too conservative for some of my friends and too liberal for the other half of my friends. I'm sort of, you know, I see both sides, and I think that's a good thing. But as far as just the shift from living in fairly rural Texas with, you know, cow pastures and moving to, you know, Manhattan, it's just shocking. But of course, I always wanted to live there too. I'm one of those Texans that wanted to get to that other world. So I love both. My perfect life would be going back and forth.
You're not afraid, though, to poke at your Texan friends and family in ways that perhaps, you know, might
Well, that's
my
unique offering, in a way. I have that background, so I might as well. There's another cartoonist at The New Yorker, George Booth, who grew up in Missouri, and he does a bunch of sort of strangely country sort of cartoons in The New Yorker. And if I'm able to, I'll continue that tradition. But I stick it both ways, I guess. I make fun of The New Yorkers
for sure,
and the interpretive dancers, and and then the cowboys too.
What about Big Tex? Again, this is looking at your website. Big Tex is this enormous 50-foot tall,
animatronic cowboy at the Texas State Fair.
This is a piece I did for
Texas Monthly Magazine, I like to say the New Yorker of Texas.
Right.
It's a real thing, yeah. And I grew up with it, you know, as a kid. The big state fair, big Tex, and he would wave his big robot hand and say stuff, you know, like, howdy, folks, you know, get your corn dogs at the concession stand, that kind of things. And then he caught fire. There was an electrical fire in his head. And so I can imagine all these little kids looking up at Big Tex, you know, his face is on fire. So then I did a whole piece in the Texas Monthly Magazine about the design and rebuilding him. And the way they could fix him, because he was a very creepy looking sort of stiff robot cowboy.
That quality that sometimes animatronics can have. That they're actually as frightening as they
very
are
scary,
in inverted commas funny, which I guess leads us in some ways to the idea that you're here for the Kilkenny Animated, the animation festival. How much of your work has been animated? How involved are you
not
in that
very
side
much
of
I've done a tiny bit of animation and it was interesting when they asked me to come here last time. But what I do is essentially the same. It's just I draw a lot less. I do a story, hopefully, that has a beginning, middle, and end in one drawing, and they're telling stories with thousands of drawings. So I'm just lazy, I guess. It's animation, but lazy. But I do want to do more animation, but, you know, the things I've done is... But I think that's what the Animation Festival is about, getting people from different disciplines and from different parts of the world to kind of come together and share ideas. And I find it really inspiring every time I come here just to...
Well, I guess, too, you know, you say you're being lazy, but there might be a team of people drawing the 10 or 15
that's
or 20,000
yeah.
drawings that are needed for a small scene in an animation festival.
But I just love the work that Cartoon Saloon does, and they're just so beautiful and wonderful people. I'm really looking forward to hanging out with them.
The other side of it is, you know, sometimes I think in terms of animation, people think about... developments in technology and that perhaps sure it's easy now, you just put
the computer
and the computer does it all for you. I guess you're quite traditional, I think, in terms of how you think about things in that respect.
I am pencil and paper guy, but I'll actually be presenting my whole stuff on digital this time, doing some live drawing. We're going to do a thing which I'm really excited about. Since it's October, I was like, it's close enough to Halloween, we can go kind of spooky. So for half of my show, I'm going to have my friend Harry Bliss, who's another New Yorker cartoonist. He's going to read this really creepy horror story. Yeah, I wouldn't know. It's a creepy, disturbing story. I don't know if it's horror. He's going to read that while I draw live, and I'm going to be doing that all on an iPad for the first time. So come see that. See if I screw it up.
Yeah, and drawing live, and under pressure. I mean, like, you're talking about spending 2 hours of your working day getting to the point where you're ready to draw something.
Yeah.
This is going to be go.
I'll be on the spot. Yeah, I'll practice. But it'll be cool. I hope it'll be a multi-sort of sensory experience.
I want you to finish up by describing one of your Texan cartoons, which did make me laugh.
Oh, yeah?
Quite a few people laugh quite a lot upstairs.
Oh, I bet you I know which one it is.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Is it the breakup cartoon?
It's the breakup cartoon.
Yeah, so it's a Texas couple, but perhaps it could be an Irish couple. I'm not sure. And it's a Texas lady saying to her boyfriend, who's very disappointed, she's breaking up with him. She's saying, I hope we can still be cousins.
Matt Diffie there, and Matt will be speaking at the 2019 Kilkenny Animated Festival tomorrow, 3 p.m. in Clear's Theatre Bar. The festival starts tonight, and you can find out full details on kilkennyanimated.com.